Here's why I shouldn't be left alone. I found a creature that can summon specters that last indefinitely, basically until they're destroyed. And naturally, because of the power gamer in me, I only know how to find loopholes and break things. So I have to take that to the farthest extreme possible and figure out how I can make this particular creature build an army. And obviously an army needs a general, and generals obviously need sergeants. And here we are. This week's episode of Combat Corner is Seven Creatures. Sorry. Thanks for joining me. My name is Greg. Here at the Game Masters Academy, we talk all things D&D. From encounter highlights to rule breakdowns, I got you covered. I release videos every Monday and Thursday, and whether you're a DM looking for help with prep or just a player looking for inspiration, if you find what I do here helpful, I would love it if you would subscribe, hit the like button, give me a comment, give me some ideas that you've potentially used in games that you've run in the past as well. From A Song of Ice and Fire's Golden Company to the Malazan Book of the Fallen's Perish Grey Wolves, mercenary companies are entrenched in literature, each with their own history, code of conduct, and goals. I'd like to introduce you to Ralik. I'd like you to imagine a wizard, and a not very good one. Ralik struggled at university, started seeking more occult ways to gain power, finding an ancient tomb of an old battle mage devoted to Bane, Ralik discovers his spellbook. Within, he finds the rituals necessary to summon a cadaver collector. Ancient constructs from the endless battlefields of Acheron, cadaver collectors are able to summon the fallen spirits of the battlefield around them in the form of specters. Within the tome are other rituals that provide the necessary details to create a blackguard and bone knights. I know, it's just a paladin and a dude in bone armor. Don't ruin it. With excitement, Ralik rushed to his friends and convinced them to partake in the rituals. Fast forward 20 years, and the Eternal Legion, as they call themselves, have allowed their reputation to grow and use this new power as a way to do what all young adults want to do, get rich. As with all things here at Game Masters Academy, unless otherwise specified, this is designed as a side quest, not the focal point of a campaign, and although the party being these nefarious miscreants sounds like an amazing campaign idea, I can actually see it. The party is given this particular book. The wizard for the party is able to do the summoning and pull in a cadaver collector. And then they basically go around and sell their services to the neighboring kingdoms to help with war season, to help defend against the invasion of the orcs. It's actually not a terrible idea for a campaign. I could see that it would be pretty fun. You know, one of the things that's kind of tricky with D&D is large-scale combats don't really work very well. Stick around to the very end, and I'll give you some ideas that I have on how we could potentially include a large-scale combat that doesn't, well, basically doesn't suck. But the party then is able to then, like, move around and basically be the sellsword mercenary type, which would be pretty cool as a hack-and-slash type of a campaign, as opposed to just throwing enemies at the party repeatedly. I digress. Eternal Legion. So, the Eternal Legion has positioned themselves as a mercenary company, and they have this unique advantage that they work off of. Their main soldiers are specters, and so that means that they don't require food, they don't require water, they never rest, they require no shoes, no weapons, no armor. You have this extremely low cost required to be able to hire them, and yet with a super low cost, you're able to get a ton of return for what it is that this neighboring kingdom or whatever would be purchasing. And you have this nearly endless supply of assailants. You know, we're going to get into a little bit about how frequently a cadaver collector is actually able to summon these spirits. But a D4 per short rest is just one of them going to make almost 50 on average per day. And being able to just summon 50 armed men to attack a stronghold and be able to replenish 50 soldiers every single day is going to make this Eternal Legion, as we're going to call it, the premier mercenary company for whatever campaign setting that you currently have. Our party is first going to find them as opposition to part of a besieging force. Basically, they're sent to destroy the city defenders that are currently trying to keep them out at whatever city the party is part of. And that's going to cause the party to set out as an infiltrating strike force to attack the different members within this Eternal Legion, potentially sway them to their side or just outright destroy them, whatever obviously the party wants and however you want to fit this into the campaign that you've got going on. So that's the lore or the breakdown behind this particular band of mercenaries. We are going to start out here with taking a quick look at the Cadaver Collector itself. It's really kind of the linchpin for this whole entire mercenary company. It is a lawful evil construct, but it's going to follow the instructions of whoever it is or whatever it is that happens to summon it from Acheron. With it, similar to most other constructs, it has a ton of condition immunities: charmed, exhaustion, frightened, paralyzed, petrified, poisoned, etc. And damage immunities to all sorts of things, including bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing that are non-magical and also are not adamantine. Cadaver Collector is going to have magic resistance, multi-attack with a slam that's going to do your basic bludgeoning damage, a little bit of necrotic, paralyzing breath. But at the very bottom here is where we're going to find the key ability. As a bonus action, the Cadaver Collector is able to call forth, using summoned specters, the enslaved spirits of those that have been slain around it, pulls forth 1d4 specters without sunlight sensitivity into an unoccupied space within 15 feet of it, and they're going to be able to act on the same initiative count, but after the actual Cadaver Collector goes. And then they disappear when the actual collector is destroyed as well. And so that, I was looking through, and when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, we clearly have to find a way to be able to make this work on a army's scale. Next up, we're going to be looking at a Black Guard, which is basically just essentially an Oathbreaker Paladin. But in this particular regard, we're going to be looking at the one in the Monster's Manual. Gains multi-attack using his glaive or short bow, a fear effect, and then a smite, which can blind or shove. And I couldn't think of much better creatures to be the general or multiple generals of this particular undead army than a paladin that has fallen from grace and has become that which it swore to protect. And the last component to our undead immortal army is going to be the Bone Knight out of Eberron's book. The main ability here that we're looking at is going to be Master of the Pallid Banner. While within 60 feet of the knight, any undead ally of the knight has advantage on saving throws against any effect that turns undead. There's some other abilities in here that are specifically designed to go with skeletons or zombies. It has some spell casting, as well as a great sword and a long bow. Multi-attack gives it 2 attack options. This is just a pretty straightforward warrior. It just ends up being a non-undead that is given the abilities necessary to lead undead. You know, one of the things I had mentioned earlier was that this potentially has the recipe to actually be a really fun campaign. And I could see a scenario where as the DM, you're consistently creating these combat scenarios that you really want the party to be able to utilize all of the different abilities that they're going to gain by having access to the specters and all of the different things here. And obviously, if this is the actual campaign that you're going to be running, you're not going to have Black Guards and Bone Knights, which You could do that, but obviously level progression wouldn't work and all sorts of other things. So you're going to have just the party members, and they are going to fill these roles of general and sergeants. If I'm looking at a way to include large-scale battles, which be very careful of, and we don't want to bog down initiative and make combat take 7 years and not be fun, that type of thing. But there's also something really interesting about having one of the players be like the sergeant or the squad commander for their men, and then having that player go through this idea of those men one by one being eliminated by the opposing force. I could see how that could be compelling. We just need to do it in a way that's not going to bog things down with, you know, 4 hours of dice rolling. One thing that I think we could do is basically roll a d20 for a platoon and just have that be the number of the enemy that that platoon has destroyed. So if, let's say you're going to start out with 50 men and you've got them going against each other. On the one's turn, you just roll a d20, you get a 19. 19 of the opposing army has just been defeated. And then on the opposing army's turn, they do the exact same thing. Roll a d20, 5 of your army has been defeated. And we don't have to fall into this idea of each person rolls an attack and then there's damage for each one of them and just takes forever. But you still get this idea of being able to see losses as well as being able to make gains forward. And I could see how it could potentially be a compelling way to run that type of a combat. I think we're better off just sticking to having the party be a strike force and having them be the infiltrating into the enemy encampment and then targeting the general, while the armies just, you know, go do the thing that the armies are going to do, and then you explain what it is that actually was the end result of the armies battling each other. That tends to work better than trying to get bogged down in all of this giant battle and huge warfare type of a scenario. I've tried it. I really want to be able to make it work, but I can't figure out a good way. If you have a good way, I would love to hear it in the comments, so that way I can potentially add that to my game. So that's Combat Corner for the week. I hope that you guys find a fun way to add the Eternal Legion into your campaign. Maybe you could even just do the entire campaign set up where the party is the mercenary group. But either way, have a great rest of your week. I appreciate each and every one of you for being here. And as always, let's let the dice decide. Sorry, I'm in Wisconsin, and we got some people driving around the lot here on my break. Next up, we're going to be looking at